Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak, so glad to have you along on this Friday, June the 5th. So what are we going to talk about today? Well, it's funny you should ask. I know you're not asking, I'm asking that. But anyway, just a few minutes ago, I've been going back and forth all day. What should we talk about on the program? You know me, I always try to let the Spirit lead me. And honestly, just before, and I really wasn't getting anything concrete. That happens sometimes. I've learned to not get upset about it because I want to really be open to the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit just has a plan but doesn't let me in on the plan until the last minute. So I've learned to roll with the punches. So just before I went on the air, I had one thing. I was kicking around one idea in my mind. But just before I went on the air, this verse came to me. This is a Bible verse from Mark's Gospel, the words of Jesus, Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." The words of Jesus are really clear there. If you can, somebody is coming to Jesus for a miracle. I'm going to get the exact Bible verse, the passage up here, so I can talk more about it. Comes up to Jesus asking for a miracle and says to him, "Lord, if you can do this," with some doubt. And then Jesus goes into the idea of this explanation of, what do you mean, if you can? I mean, kind of that's what he was really getting at. If you can, do you believe or do you not believe? And I think sometimes when we approach the Lord, we're not that confident with our prayers, right? And that can be a very common problem, but I think it holds us back. So what do we do to build up that confidence, in his ability? Let's talk about that on the program today. And I like to call this the power of realistic thinking. And I'll talk more about where I'm going with that. But it's rooted in realism. Expecting God to perform a miracle, or at least expecting that God can perform a miracle, is not wishful thinking. It's not blind optimism. It's realistic thinking, because we're talking about someone who can perform miracles. When we keep that in mind, as we approach him, then we're going to have that confidence that we need to ask for whatever it is that we need. This is exercising our faith. So let's chat about that on the program today. I hope you could stick around for the entire 30-minute show. I'm going to pray now, and I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer as we turn to Jesus, who is all-powerful and who can perform miracles. Let's turn to him now with our needs, recognizing that he hears us and that he will respond in some way. All right, you ready? Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we come to you today, first of all, with grateful hearts, grateful for the fact that you're always with us, no matter where we are. You are with us, and you're waiting to hear from us. And we know also that when we come to you in prayer, that when we place ourselves, recognize that we are in your presence, and make that decision to turn to you, that makes you happy. You know, it's hard for us, Jesus, to imagine that sometimes, to imagine the fact that just our presence, our turning to you, our choice, our conscious decision to turn to you can make you happy. But we know that it can. We know that in addition to being divine, you also are human. So you have human emotions. You have a human heart, much like we do. And your heart can feel compassion. Your heart can feel pain. Your heart can feel joy. And so therefore, we know when we come to you, you are joyful. Even if we're going to ask for things, we know you're joyful. So Jesus, we come to you today first and foremost, grateful. Grateful for your presence in our lives. Grateful for the fact that you guide us every day, that you never leave our side, that you walk with us even when things are difficult, that you are never apart from us, and that you give us hope even when everything might appear hopeless. Jesus, we present our needs to you this day. I don't need to mention them all because you know what they are. But I give you anything, Lord, that is a concern to us, that might cause us to worry, that might cause us to panic. We give it to you now, Lord, and ask you with confidence to handle it. Lord Jesus, we give you the suffering of anyone who is afflicted right now with the coronavirus or dealing in any way with a coronavirus-related problem, spiritual, physical, emotional, financial. And we pray for their complete healing in your name, Lord. Lord Jesus, we give you the... We turn the world over to you right now, Lord, a world which is very much divided, and we ask you to bring about peace, bring about unity, not just in the United States, but throughout the world. Please end this division in the church, outside of the church, from people of different political viewpoints. Please bring about peace and unity in the world, Lord. And let us know what part we play in this. Please use us as your instruments of peace. Lord Jesus, we ask that you protect the homeless this day, the homebound, those who are living in such extreme poverty that they don't have enough food to eat. We pray for persecuted Christians around the world. As your gospel message continues to spread, please protect those who put their lives on the line, being your ministers, your hands and feet in the world, in restricted and hostile areas. We pray, Lord, for strength and for freedom for those who might be imprisoned, held hostage for your gospel right now, which happens in so many countries in the world. And we pray for the continued spread of your gospel, not just in hostile areas, but throughout the world, here in our world, in our country, in our city, in our town, in our home. May your gospel be spread, and may we be used as your instruments. Jesus, I also ask you to send us a new outpouring of the Spirit today. Activate your Holy Spirit in us, especially me today, so that I can preach your message and open our hearts and our minds so that we can be receptive to what you have to say. Lord Jesus, we ask this. We ask all of this in your name through the intercession of your Blessed Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me on the program. My name is Gary Zimek. The show is called Following the Truth. For more information about the work that I do, don't forget to check out my website, followingthetruth.com. And if you haven't done so, please sign up for my daily email devotional, which is Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. It's just a little help, and I really thank you for the comments about it. It's a help to assist you in finding hope in really a hopeless world. So many things look hopeless. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to lose heart. But we got to remember that we're dealing with a Savior, a Lord and Savior, who has proven time and time again he can perform miracles. He can command the sea to be still. He can raise people from the dead as he did with Lazarus. He can rise from the dead himself. He can do all things. So this is who we're dealing with. And when we keep that in mind, it's much easier for us to have confidence in him. So let's remember that. Let's remember that always when we approach the Lord. Okay. So today we're going to talk about this whole idea of if you can, Lord, if you can really do this, then please hear my petition, hear my prayer. We've got to get, at some point in time, we've got to get past that and be able to confidently approach the Lord. And I think the best way to do that is to, first of all, give him a chance. Well, actually, first of all, even before that, is know the facts. This is a realistic outlook, I believe. And when we look at Jesus and his history of performing miracles, I think we're going to be a lot more convinced just knowing that he can do this. Whatever it is, he can do it, he can handle it. That's the first step, to know in our mind, and that comes from reading Scripture and realizing what Jesus can do. If we look throughout the Gospels, we see numerous illustrations of Jesus performing miracles. That's the first step. The second step is to give him a chance to perform a miracle in your life. You know, it's really great to read about Jesus healing somebody who is blind, curing a leper, raising Lazarus from the dead. It's great. That's helpful. It's really helpful. It's very inspiring. But it's even more inspiring to see him do it in our lives. Would you agree? So we need to give him a chance. If we don't ever give him a chance to perform a miracle, then our faith will never have that opportunity to grow. Our faith grows by using it. So if I have a condition, if I have a problem, a medical condition, a financial issue, a spiritual battle, whatever it may be, something really difficult that I cannot handle, that almost looks hopeless, that is a great, or impossible, right? That is a great case to give to Jesus and say, Jesus, please handle this for me. Your will be done, Jesus, but do it. I need help with this. I need this to be done, and give it to him, and then see what happens. Now, he's not going to perform an extraordinary physical miracle every time. He just doesn't work that way. But often he will, or a certain degree of a miracle. A lot of times we have our own criteria for this is a miracle, this is not a miracle. Well, a lot of these things that fall into the ordinary or coincidental category, oh boy, it's what a coincidence that worked out, or boy, we're fortunate that happened. A lot of those things are miracles. I guess I could call them minor miracles. I've seen them in my life many times. Often we miss them. But if you look at how many times the Lord comes through and you give him a chance to do it, and then you look back and say, yep, I remember he did that for me, he did this for me. Just keep asking him. Give him a chance to perform the miracle in your life. The more you do that, the more your faith will grow. So I was telling you about this this Bible verse, and this was in my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. I talked about it there. It is, what did I say? It was Mark chapter 9, verse 23, I believe, right? Mark 9, 23, yeah. Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, to give you a little background or put this in its proper context, we have a boy here who is possessed by a demon. And Jesus, the father comes to Jesus, and let's see, I'm trying to think where to start with this. Okay, teacher, this is Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. So this is a side issue, but obviously this is a pretty painful condition, pretty serious. The disciples were unable to cast the demon out of his son. So the man brings the son, he brings the problem to Jesus. And Jesus answered, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. So he's asking for the boy to be brought to him. In other words, my guys couldn't handle this. I'm going to handle this myself. And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has he had this? And the father said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have pity on us and help us. Now see, this is what Jesus is keying on. And I propose this, something to think about. How many times do we pray like this? Lord, if you can handle this, if you can provide me the money to pay my bills this month, if you can cure my cancer, if you can cure my cold, if you can allow it not to rain for my big party on Saturday. I mean, any number of things. If you can. Coming to him with that doubt. Now, one of the things to keep in mind, if you remember when Jesus was praying on the night before he died, he was praying to his father, and he said, and I believe Mark's version uses these specific words in the gospel, Father, all things are possible for you. Jesus frames his prayer with that statement and in that expression of confidence in his father's ability to handle anything. I think sometimes if we are to pray in Jesus' name, you know, we tag that on the end of our prayers, in Jesus' name, and we pray to the Father. But a lot of times we are not praying with the confidence that we need. How do we do that? Well, again, we go through that process. We go through that process of looking at what the Lord has done, and then, you know, in our own lives, give him the chance to do it. So it's a twofold process. Give him a chance to perform miracles. First, look at his history, then give him a chance to perform miracles. And this builds up our confidence when we go to him, so that we're not saying that if you can, but with confidence, we're saying like Jesus prayed when he prayed to his Father, Father, all things are possible for you. No, if you can. Hey, look, I know you could do this if it be your will. That's a different story. But if you can, you know, are we confident? Do we have confidence in Jesus when we turn to him? Do we have confidence in the Father when we go to him asking for what we need? Or are we kind of nervous about it, thinking, well, he might not be able to handle this? It's all a matter of coming to him. Either we believe or we don't. And when this man came to Jesus and he said, if you can handle this, if you can do this, then please heal my son. And Jesus picked up on this. And Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, here's where this really gets interesting. For us, it's really powerful if we can go to the Lord with confidence. But we are all somewhere on the journey. You know, our faith is growing. None of us have perfect confidence in the Lord. We might think that we have a decent amount, but it can always be better. And Jesus really gave this man a great piece of advice. Or actually, what happened was, when Jesus questioned the man came back with a really neat prayer. That's what happened. Immediately, the father of the child, after Jesus said all things are possible to him who believes, the father of the child cried out and he said, I believe, help my unbelief. Did you catch that? I believe, help my unbelief. I believe to some degree that you can fix this problem, that you can heal my son. But please, increase my faith. Help me to believe even more. And I think that's a great prayer. That's a great prayer, because we're reminded of that, of the fact that sometimes our faith isn't where it should be, but what are we doing about it? So first, we look at the miracles of Jesus, who we're dealing with. And then you can even look in the Old Testament, see what the Father has done time and time, how he brought his people out of really tough spots and performed miracles. And the more you know about that, what he's done throughout salvation history, the more confident you'll be. But then again, you've got to approach him at some point. So you go to him, you give him a chance, and then if your faith is lacking, if you say, all right, I know you can handle this, and be honest with him and say, well, I'm a little shaky. I think you can handle this. I have some degree of belief, but please help me to believe even more. And then wait for the Lord to answer in some way. And if you need something, because this is where a lot of us fall apart, if you believe you need something, you're asking and he doesn't appear to be answering. He's always answering. But sometimes we don't like the answers, or we don't recognize the answers that we get, because sometimes the answer is not yet. I need you to wait a little bit. I need to fix some things up before I'm going to grant your request. And that happens a lot. But what we do sometimes is we take that delay and we treat it as a no. In other words, I'm asking Jesus to heal my anxiety, to heal my illness, to get me this job that I've been looking for. I haven't been able to find a job, to bring an end to the coronavirus. And that's a big one. And we don't see it happening quickly enough. You know, you pray for an immediate end to the coronavirus or a complete healing of somebody from cancer, which I do all the time. But as this goes on and on more and more, it's easy to lose that confidence. So that's why, that's just human nature. That's what tends to happen to us, because we're used to getting some sort of a result. If I ask you for something, you either can do it or you can't do it. If you can do it, that's great. If you can't do it, then I'm not going to keep asking you if I realize you're not capable of helping me out with the problem. We treat God the same way. And then we lose confidence in him. So he doesn't answer fast enough, or he doesn't appear to be answering. And then we lose confidence and we stop praying. But that's bad because, number one, our faith will never grow that way. And number two, it can hurt our relationship with the Lord because he wants us to talk to him every day. He wants us to ask for what we need. So why don't you think about that this day? Think about, because I'm sure you have needs right now. I'm sure you're struggling with something. I know my audience. I'm sure you're struggling with something. I've got some things going on, and I'm getting real tired asking, but I keep asking. And some days I don't necessarily feel that he can come through. I don't necessarily feel it. However, I know it in my head. And that knowledge in my head comes from reading about what he's done in Scripture. And it also comes from the faith that I have. When I'm baptized, I receive the gift of faith. So that allows me to believe that the Lord can handle all situations. He can do the impossible. It's not always in my heart, but it's in my head. Many times it is in my heart. But the longer we go without him answering, it starts to dissipate, that feeling, that belief, that confidence. And it's not in our heart anymore. And then we really begin to doubt. Now, we could either give in to those doubts and start to think, well, he maybe can't really do this, or maybe he's not really interested. But we got to control those thoughts. We can control those thoughts. It's not easy, though. And again, you don't always feel it. Encounter them with not optimism, not positive thinking, but realistic thinking. Jesus can do all things. Jesus can do the impossible. Jesus loves me. Jesus' heart is moved with pity for the people. I mean, all documented things in the Bible. Jesus is present with us. Jesus, you know, he hasn't gone anywhere. He has risen from the dead. And again, that's not positive thinking. That's not burying your head in the sand. That's not crossing your fingers and hoping for the best. That is realism. That's realistic thinking. And sometimes that, the psychologists will call that self-talk, where you kind of talk to yourself and remind yourself, look, wait a minute, I'm dealing with this powerful individual, Lord and Savior, the Lord of the universe. This guy is really, really big, and he really can help me, and I got to remind myself of that. And then in the meantime, you can also ask for the grace to believe. So while you're asking for what you need, again, whether you feel it or not, you can also ask. You can also ask for an increase in faith, sort of like this man did with his son. Well, I do believe to a certain extent, but however, increase my belief. Help me to believe more. And then the more you ask, the more you begin to believe, the more you have faith in the Lord, as you watch him work in your life. So please consider doing that. But whatever I think if I could leave you with one message today, I would encourage you to keep moving forward. If you have something, you have an intention, please persist. Be persistent. The Lord has told us. There's the parable of the persistent widow who just kept after the judge, hammering on this guy for what she needed until the request was granted. And Luke tells us in his gospel, the reason Jesus tells this parable is to teach us the value of constant prayer. That's why we're told that story. So I'm going to pray for you. Pray that you will have the faith to endure, even if you're not getting the answer quickly enough. Again, that does not mean that the Lord is not answering your prayer. When he says no, you'll know. As an example, I have prayed for people. I prayed for my dad when he had cancer for a complete physical healing, and my dad died. At that point, it would be crazy to pray for his surviving the cancer because he was dead. So at that point, the Lord said, no, I've got a different plan. And that's when I have to adjust to my thinking, because typically I should pray as Jesus prayed, thy will be done. But before that, don't think that just because he is saying wait, or you don't feel an answer coming, that he's saying no. He's not saying no. When he says no, he says no. In the meantime, keep asking for what you need, unless you maybe get the idea in prayer. Well, maybe I don't think this is the best thing for me. Because sometimes here's what happens when you pray for a certain intention. All of a sudden your heart will change and you'll realize, I don't want that anymore. Well, that is an answer to prayer too. That's the Lord saying to you, he's changing your desires, and you might realize, well, I don't really need that. I might have thought I needed it before, but it maybe was something I want or was something extraneous. I don't need it. So it's a matter of that. And then, of course, you're not going to pray for something you don't believe you need anymore. But until you get to know, you keep asking for what you want, all right? Listen, if you have any questions, it's a tough topic. It's not an easy one because you can get burned out when you pray and there doesn't appear to be any results. We live in a culture where we expect instant results. You know, I want fast food. I want my meal. I want it quickly. I want my internet to be lightning fast. If not, I get impatient. But the Lord sometimes delays. He has his own schedule. If you have any questions about this, please feel free to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I'll be here over the weekend if you need anything. Don't feel you're bothering me. Just let me know if I can help you in any way. gary@followingthetruth.com. I will be praying for you. And I would ask you if you would be so kind to pray for me and my family as well. We could use the prayers. We really could. And if you're able to send a donation my way, you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. You can do that securely through PayPal. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. God willing, I will be back with you here on Monday for another day, another program of Following the Truth. I hope you have a pleasant weekend. Remember to hang in there. Do your part. If you come to the Lord in prayer, don't get discouraged. Just keep coming to him with whatever it is that you need. And also, don't forget to praise him. Don't forget to give him glory. Don't forget to worship him. Tell him how good he is. Again, he doesn't need to hear that. You need to hear it, because that's one of the ways that you build up your confidence, so that there's going to be none of this "if you can" in your prayers. It's going to be like, all right, Lord, I know you can do this. However, your will be done. Here's what I need. And by the way, increase my faith. I do believe, but help my unbelief. Let me get rid of the unbelief in my life so that I can pray with confidence. All right, does that sound good? Again, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening to Following the Truth. I look forward to being back with you here for another week next week. God bless you.